Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
Well, how many enjoyed living on purpose? Anybody get some stuff out of the living on purpose? I hope you did. I definitely did. And that whole series is now on our website, on our podcast, on Spotify, and anything like that if you want to re-listen. But today, we are going to launch into our next series here for the month of June. And I'm so excited because this June is full of outreaches. So whether we're doing the Dairy Days or we're going to do the car show, and you might be wondering, why in the world are they doing a car show at a church? Are they like becoming non-spiritual or something? Not at all. You know, the fun thing about Jesus is if you look at it, did we ever see Jesus really in a classroom much? He did go to the synagogue to teach. There's a place for that 100%. But what he actually did was he did life with people. He loved to walk with people, eat with people, do things with people, and then he would show them the Father's heart through that. And so, no, we have not lost our mind, but what we want to do is create an atmosphere where the community can come together and we can show them the tangible love of God. And so that's what we'll be doing this month. And so there's just so many opportunities when you give, when you tithe, through your generosity. It's all supporting these outreaches. And so I just want to thank you so much. But also, it's a great month to pray for the lost to be saved. So if you're on a hike and find a fork in the road, what do? You stop for lunch. Oh, dear. That's not a good sign. I'm really branching out here. This shows how desperate I was. Why did Adele cross the road? Yes. To sing hello from the other side. Yes, okay. Don't leave the church. We're going to get into the word here. All right. So we're coming out of our Living on Purpose series, and we're going into our series this month is called Where the Rubber Hits the Road. And my husband came up with this title, and I thought it was very appropriate since we were having a car show, so Where the Rubber Hits the Road. And I just want to give a disclaimer. I am on 2 cups of green tea because my husband and I, we were down in Washington, D.C. yesterday. We were driving back to Washington, D.C. as soon as I'm done preaching. Don't ask me how this schedule happened, but after this message, we're going back down and we will be at a bipartisan ministry gathering in Washington, D.C. in Capitol Hill, where we will be praying for government leaders. There will be governors there, senators, and we will get to pray for them and just be praying in Washington, D.C. So keep us in prayer. Also, give me a little extra grace this morning if I'm looking at my notes a little extra or I'm a little jittery. All right, so where the rubber hits the road. Everyone say where the rubber hits the road. Living on purpose isn't always easy, but it's not impossible. Where you are going is a result of your daily choices. If you doubt that, just look at a toddler's life, right? Who's ever been like with a toddler and they make a really stupid choice and then it affects the rest of their day? Or at least like if they skip nap time, there goes the day, right? We'd all like to think that we are better than toddlers, but our choices still affect the results that we get in a day, right? So how we spend our time, where we invest our energy is where the rubber hits the road for our life purpose. We can talk about life purpose all day long, but if we never get really practical about how we are spending our time, then really we're kind of like a Pharisee, where we have all these great ideas, great goals, but everybody has great goals. The difference is those who actually change their habits to accomplish them. Does that make sense? So where the rubber hits the road, the definition is the most important point for something, the moment of truth. An athlete can train all day, but the race is where the rubber hits the road and they'll know how good they really are. Who's ever been an athlete or done something like that? And then like you got to the race or you got to whatever and you're like, oh snap. I thought I was really good, right? I have so been there. I was like, man, I'm like getting, but pride goes before a fall, right? There's a very good reason that it says that. So to review our May, we talked about how what we believe turns into purpose, and purpose turns into priorities, and priorities turns into habits, right? And that's a quote from Pastor Steve Backlund. And so this month, we're going to be talking about habits. So habit is a settled or regular tendency or practice, especially one that is hard to give up. Who has a bad habit here? Anybody bad habits? Who's got some good habits? Right? Who's got some habits that you've been trying to break for years? Anybody? I have a nervous habit, and I was thinking, man, I thought I was going to break this 15 years ago. It was just hitting me. I was like, oh my gosh, it's been 15 years and I still have this nervous habit. Anyone have a habit like that? Where it's just like, man, I thought, you know, when you're younger, you're like, well, by this age, surely I will have graduated out of this habit. But you don't graduate out of habits, generally speaking. Maybe when you're little, you do, hopefully. But when we get to a certain age, it actually takes some effort and some intentionality and maybe a couple other things to actually shift habits. It doesn't happen by accident. So we can talk about living on purpose all day, but the rubber hits the road when we start talking about habits. Where you are going tomorrow is a result of the small and big habits you live out today. I love this quote by Pastor Craig Rochelle, who does, he's a leadership coach that my husband loves to listen to on podcasts, and he's got a whole thing on habits. He says, "Our habits can make us or break us. We become what we repeatedly do. People who live on purpose do consistently what other people do occasionally, spiritually, financially, physically, and relationally." And so our theme verse is found in Proverbs 4, verses 25 through 27. It's been a long time since we've had a Proverbs be our theme verse. So if you're looking for something to study this month, I encourage you get into Proverbs in chapter 4. It says, "Let your eyes look straight ahead, fix your gaze directly before you, give careful thought," everyone say careful, "to the paths for your feet and be steadfast," or consistent, say consistent, "in all of your ways. Do not turn to the left or to the right. Keep your foot from evil." So we've got words like fix, think, be steadfast, and keep. How many know these are not passive words? These are not words that happen by accident. And so we're talking about intentionality. You know, New Year's resolutions, who's ever done a New Year's resolution? Anyone? I have, but I don't even remember what mine were this year. That's where I'm at. I'm just being fully honest there. But 92% of New Year resolutions fail. I am definitely that 92%, just going to be honest. I have met some people that are not the 92%, and it is so infuriating and inspiring all at the same time. But a lot of habits fail right off the bat, and we're going to be talking a little bit about why they fail and also the mindsets and the two different kinds of habits that we can get today. How many know God's purpose is not just the destination? And I've talked about that a lot last month. When we think of God's purpose as the destination, then we can think we never will reach it, or we're too old for it, we're too young for it, we're not qualified for it. But God's purpose, is always the process and the journey as well. And so that's why habits matter, because our journey is made up of how we spend our time. And I read a study that says that 40% of our behaviors on any given day make up, 40% of our time on any given day is made up of our habits. So about half your day, if you think about it, is actually made up of your habits. Whether they're intentional habits or not, you just kind of get in your rhythm and you kind of do your thing. Have you ever gotten to your work or to your home and you don't know how you got there? Anybody? I don't know how many times I've driven over that hill to get from my house to here, but I think it's probably literally in the millions almost. And there have been times when Brian and I were really tired after church, and we get like halfway through the hill and we're like, did you remember that? No. Did you remember that? No? Well, I'm glad we're all still here, right? And it's because we get into these rhythms and these habits, and sometimes we can even check out because we've done them so many times. And sometimes that's okay, and sometimes that's actually really dangerous, especially if it's a habit of disrespect, or it's a dysfunctional habit, or it's an addictive habit. You cannot live on purpose without letting the rubber hit the road in your habits. So today we're going to talk about two different kinds of habits. And I had actually written an entire sermon earlier this week, and I was talking all just about habits, like very practically, because you can have all these different kinds of habits, and we'll get very practical this month. But then yesterday I realized we can talk about that, but what really matters is where do our habits come from, right? And so that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about orphan habits versus sonship habits. What's really cool is that, I don't know if you can wave the Embracing the Fathers love book that you've got there. So Pastor Tom brought this book in, or he was with someone talking about the book, and he doesn't know that I was actually just re-listening to this book on audiobooks yesterday coming back from Washington, D.C. I thought like an angel dropped the book here. About 10 years ago, when I was doing ministry school, I read that book, and it completely changed my life. I want to highly recommend it to anybody here. What is it called? Embracing the Father's Love? Excuse me. Experiencing Father's Embrace. I was close. Yeah. So Jack Frost is the author, and he's incredible. He was a sea captain. He was abused and neglected as a child, and he became this very bitter, angry sea captain, but very good at what he did. And it's the story of how God showed him his identity. And he was able to actually be completely delivered of being so angry and raging. And it transformed his marriage. It transformed his relationship with his kids. It's an absolutely life-changing book. The cover looks kind of feminine, but I guarantee it is the most masculine book you've ever read on the Father's love. This guy does not mess around. If he's a sea captain, he's still a sea captain somewhere in there, and he writes very powerfully. So I just encourage you to read that book. Maybe I'll put it on the welcome desk. But we're talking about orphan habits versus sonship, and he talks a lot about that in that book. Whether you see yourself as an orphan or as a son or daughter is one of the most important defining questions that you will ever ask yourself. It will affect every single thing you do. It'll affect how you think. It'll affect how you relate to people. It'll affect how you accomplish your purpose, or you think you're accomplishing your purpose. And that's why I'm going to talk about it today, because it will ultimately affect every single habit that you have. Galatians 4:4-5 says, "But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. And God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves." So I love, you know, the servants that Pastor Rod mentioned. How many know we all were slaves, according to this verse, so that he could adopt us as his very own children? The issue is, if we see ourselves as an orphan, then we're going to have an unhealthy view of our identity. And you know what an unhealthy view of your identity produces? Unhealthy habits. But you know what the problem is? Unhealthy habits then reinforce an unhealthy identity. Have you ever been like, I mess up all the time, and then you mess up and you're like, see, I mess up all the time. And then you mess up all the time, and then you're like, see, I mess up all the time. Or you trip up on something that you've been trying to break, and then you say, well, I'm always this, and then you trip up again. And it's this cycle that keeps going, and it affects how we spend our time and our habits. You know, if you're trying to stop smoking, I heard this example by a pastor. It was neat. He said, you know, someone asks you, do you want a cigarette? And you say, I'm trying to stop smoking. That means you're still identifying as a smoker. But you can also say, no, I don't smoke anymore. Do you see the difference? And again, this is not the power of positive thinking. This has to do with how we see our identity in Christ, because how we see our identity affects how we spend our time and our habits. So let's unpack that. Identity shapes actions. So seeing ourselves as a son or daughter of God will create positive habits. It might include forgiving quickly, right? Maybe not gossiping, right? That's something we don't do here. Or tithing, or fasting, or working out. Or maybe it's just encouraging somebody else. These are godly good habits that matter. So let's talk about orphan habits first. So everyone say orphan habits. So I have actually a quote from Jack Frost that I want to read. Living life as if he does not, this is the definition of an orphan, orphan heart. Living life as if he does not have a safe and secure place in the Father's heart. He feels he has no place of affirmation, protection, comfort, belonging, or affection. Self-oriented, lonely, and inwardly isolated, he has no one from whom to draw godly inheritance. Therefore, he has to strive, achieve, compete, and earn everything he gets in life. It easily leads to a life of anxiety, fear, and frustration. How many know that doesn't sound like a good thing? But as I read that, and as I've been studying that this week, I thought, ooh, this is going to be a really good convicting message, because all of us most likely have elements of an orphan heart and of our identity in Christ, okay? But Jesus died so that we wouldn't be stuck in survival mode as orphans. He died so we would be thriving as sons and daughters in the family of God, amen? And so I love this verse, John 14, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. So that rubber hits the road of us living out our purpose through our habits. So again, I'm going to read the definition of habit. A settled or regular tendency or practice, especially one that is hard to give up. So I'm going to read some orphan habits here. So orphan mindset sees God as a master only. So they build habits centered on trying to earn God's attention and love. Orphan heart is insecure, has a deep need to be recognized for our services and for the things we do. An orphan heart lacks peace, has habits focused on trying to find peace outside of God. Orphan hearts need approval, habits focused on seeking the approval and praise of men. They are competitive, rivalry, and jealous. Habits form habits from a critical spirit and giving blame to others. They see authority as a source of pain or a threat and form habits centered on disrespect and rebellion. See, God, I know normally this is like a little bit negative. Don't worry, we're going to get to the positive here. But it's important to air this because if you see patterns in your life, I want to bring it to light. See, God is conditional and distant. Habits are centered on fear or a search for acceptance, significance, and identity in all the wrong places. They may be, an orphan heart may have high spiritual ambition to be accounted among the mature. Habits focused on never being good enough. Even strong believers with a heart for serving him, yet our motives are from the heart of an orphan instead of a son. So in other words, we might look like we're serving because we want to bless people, but actually we're serving because we have a constant need for validation and to be counted among the mature. And then lastly, orphan hearts fight for what they can get. And the habits are centered on lack and selfishness, just trying to get by. How many know this is not the kind of habits that we want to have? And these are not the habits that Jesus died to give us. This is very important. This is where salvation really gets lived out in us. You know, I asked my husband for an example, a practical example of a habit, and an area that he got delivered from years ago was pornography. And he said, when you get in the habit of an addiction like pornography, it's because you are believing that you are not worth love. That's not the only reason, but that can be one reason that when you get stuck in that addiction. And again, that's an orphan mindset. You're not worth love. So the Israelites are a very practical group of people that got stuck in this. So the Israelites kept falling back into old survival habits, and they got stuck in the wilderness for 40 years. My question to you today is, are your habits making you go in circles for 40 years? Or are your habits producing love, joy, peace, long-suffering? Because that's how you know sonship habits with the Holy Spirit or orphan habits stuck in the wilderness going in circles, okay? This isn't a condemnation. This is an invitation. This entire month is an invitation to invite Holy Spirit to start reorganizing how we are thinking about ourselves and how we are thinking about our time and our routines and our habits. Are you following me? When I'm an orphan, I try to control my environment to survive because that's all I'll ever get or all I'll ever be. So if you find yourself in a state of constant need to control, that can be a sign that you're thinking like an orphan and not like a son and daughter. Because the truth is, you will never live habits that propel you forward in your purpose if you are constantly trying to stay in control and just survive. Because that makes us victims to our circumstances. And I don't know if you've ever thought about this way, but have you ever said, I can't have peace until I have finally controlled the situation, right? If you're a mom or a dad or you're a boss or anything like that, you're probably, and you know what? Sometimes that's just the practical truth. I get that. But sometimes it can change over into an unhealthy lie, right? So, you know, you say like, you're trying to balance dinner prep versus crashing from exhaustion, or future goals versus present needs, or relationships versus work projects. Have you ever been stuck? You're like, I'm just trying to control these things, get them in balance because I can't take it. But God didn't design you to have a controlled life. In fact, one of the greatest schemes of the enemy is to get you stuck, trying to control everything, to get you stuck in this orphan mindset that just goes around and around and around and around. And he's set you free from that, just like the Israelites into the promised land. The verse says in 2 Timothy 1:7, "For the Spirit of God gave us a spirit that does not make us timid or fearful, but gave us power, love, and self-discipline." That word self-discipline is really interesting. It's actually connected to the word sozo. And you get there, it says to recall one to his senses, and that word sozo means to save, heal, preserve, and rescue. So he gives us power, love, and salvation, healing, preservation, and rescuing. Isn't that interesting? So orphan mindsets, an orphan heart, comes from a place of fear. A fear of not belonging, a fear of not being enough, a fear of never being significant, or a fear of not living out our purpose. But that sonship habit is born out of a place of walking with God and letting him save us, heal us, preserve us, rescue us. Isn't that powerful? And so that's why salvation is so powerful. But it's not, salvation is a one-time thing, of course, but then we're walking that out in our relationship with him as we let him affect our habits. So the second point is our son and daughter habits. And I know it's 11:30, so I'm going to only preach probably 3 more minutes, but I can't just talk about orphan habits here. Son and daughter habits. Jack Frost, "The spirit of sonship was not a garment we put on, but it was a change of heart so deep that it brought change to our habits. No longer did we want to bless in order to get something in return. No longer did we grudgingly give of our finances. No longer did we have to be seen or accepted. We knew our identity was in the Father's love, and it became the desire of our hearts to do everything we could to see another's vision and calling fulfilled." So sonship habits are not just self-centered. They're actually to build somebody else up. And that's a good test. If you find that you're just constantly trying to prove yourself, constantly trying to prove yourself in your relationships, in your workplace, there may need to be a shift, and God may need to reorient your thinking to be centered in identity in Christ and not just in survival mode. Sonship habits require faith beyond what you can just see. So son and daughters see God as a loving father, and they build habits anchored in belonging already. They acknowledge their needs. They build habits that meet needs in a healthy way. They have a deep gratitude for being loved, and they build habits of serving from gratitude. They have rest and have peace. Now, I'm not saying you always have peace and rest. There are seasons where it's more difficult, but they know they have access to that, and they build habits centered on resting in God's presence. They have humility and unity with others and build habits centered on valuing others and celebrating others' success. And they lay agendas and their life down, and they build habits centered on God's heart towards them, not needing to earn anyone else's attention. So do you see those differences? I don't normally read lists like that, but I felt like I needed to just kind of paint a picture as we get into June, because my first rendition of this sermon was talking all about habits, and I thought, I feel like I'm preaching a message on striving. Like, who wants to strive this June? That is not, it's thrive, not strive, right? That is not our name. And if we do not center how we spend our time on our identity as sons and daughters of God instead of as orphans, if you don't center your relationships, your parenting, or your workplace, or your goals, or your health goals, whatever it is, whatever you're living on purpose, whatever your area of influence, if you don't center that on how God sees you, like Wendy said, instead of how you see yourself without God, that's going to be the defining factor of whether you live on purpose or not. So why don't you stand on your feet this morning? I have more, but I'll share it next week. I love this example, though. When you heat water up, you don't see the temperature rising, but there is a fire underneath it. And at some point, the heat will turn from 211 degrees, which is hot, to 212 degrees, which is boiling. As we talk about habits this month, we're going to be talking about how we're spending our time and ways and creative ways to get breakthrough and get set free from ways that have been tripping us up. And it might seem to you that you are all the way back at 100 degrees, but I want to tell you that a lot of good choices, even if they're little, actually boil water. You might not see the temperature rising in your life, but God is changing you. He's doing something in your family. He's doing something in you as an individual, in your workplace. He's shifting something. And as we introduce and we talk about the choices that we make and how much of an impact they have with Jesus, that water is going to turn to boiling. And boiling is called revival. Revival isn't a tent, even though it can happen in a tent, but I much prefer revival happening in a home and in a heart. Although tents are great, but revival happens when that water goes from hot to boiling because somebody said, I'm not going to think like an orphan anymore. I'm going to think like a son and daughter. What would a son and daughter do in this marriage? What would a son and daughter do responding to this person that isn't being kind? What would a son and daughter do in this moment? How would a son and daughter react to this struggle or to this challenge, knowing they already belong, knowing they're already accepted? So I want to just pray for us, and hopefully this gives us a little bit of a jump start into this subject. We're only going to go deeper. It will be practical, but we will continue talking about sonship and being orphans, because this is where habits, this is where the rubber hits the road in our salvation and in our purpose, all right? So Jesus, I just thank you that you are so much bigger than a specific result. God, you are God, our Father. Not God, our result. You are God who wants a relationship with us, who died on that cross so that we could call you Father God. We could call you Abba Father. We could be your sons and daughters. We could be adopted in. And God, I just thank you that even this week, as we step into that, that you're going to ask us, God, we might be in a, you're going to find yourselves in a situation where you're going to want to react in the way that you normally react, or you're going to catch yourself doing a habit that you have done for years. And I want you to listen to Holy Spirit in that moment, and you're going to hear the voice that says, what would a son and daughter do if they already knew they were seen, if they already knew they were loved? And the other things that I read there. So Holy Spirit, we give you permission to interrupt our days and to let us think about that. Are we thinking as orphans? Are we living as sons and daughters? And show us where we need to make shifts, God. But it all begins with a healing in the heart, like that word sozo. God, because if we had a father that abandoned us or abused us or didn't ever show emotion to us, we don't even know what it means to be a son and daughter and to call you father. So God, teach us who you are and not who we've thought you are. Teach us who you really are this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.